we're dealing with bathing, washing, etc. on Shabbos. Continue with that and get also into the hanochas of drying oneself on Shabbos. So we spoke about what's water, what's also water that was born before, water was born on Shabbos, it's also born before. It's water, but only a part of your body, not all your body. So if you need to put a towel in the water underneath a child, you're bathing a child and you put a towel underneath him, interesting. When I learned this halacha, I couldn't think of a practical example. It seemed like that was the way they bathed their kids. Put a towel in the bath and then the kids sit in the towel or something like that. I wasn't exactly sure how it was done, but just recently I saw, my daughters decided to give my grandson a bath. I say daughters, plural, his mother, his aunts. And they seated him in a bath seat and they wanted him to be comfortable, took a hand towel and they put it around the edge of the bath seat. I said, what are you doing? No, he's got to be comfortable. And there, it's not going to rub against him or something. Soak this towel in the bath and hang it up after they forget and someone else is there. But it was interesting that they did that. So it gives an interesting example of this halacha, that if this is necessary to bathe a kid, if a kid has to be bathed on Shabbos, like we said, that children we deal with differently. Children are considered as Chodesh Eid Mesekana, and therefore if it's necessary for them to have a bath, so you can bathe them, obviously have water that was heated up before Shabbos, and if for whatever reason you need to put a towel in, so you can do, but there's a condition. First of all, it must be a towel that is perfectly clean, because the moment you soak cloth in water, it's already considered kibbles, it's washing, and we're worried about shriyusa zechel kibbutzai. Soaking something is already the first stage of washing, and therefore soak a dirty garment is also. To soak a clean garment is already a machlokes. And in case of necessity, we go with a kula shita and will be permitted. So that's number one. It's got to be a clean towel, not a dirty towel that will get clean if we soak in the bath. And second of all, it's got to be that type of garment where you're not going to wring it out as soon as you finish. You don't care if it stays wet, and because otherwise there's a problem that as soon as you finish, you'll forget that it's Shabbos, you have to wring it out. I don't have it, because it's a normal thing you do with this type of material gets wet, you wring it. And therefore, some material you'd have to have. There's two worries about it getting wet. One is you're going to make sure it's not going to be clean, and number two is that you've got to be that type of material that you won't habitually come to squeeze it out. Now, using a napkin, we're not talking about a paper napkin, but using a cloth napkin, those from the other side of the Atlantic would call it a serviette, that is permissible on Shabbos. It's made to wipe one's hands and face on it after you've eaten. It's made to get dirty. You're not going to go then and wash it out quickly or rinse it out or anything like that, or squeeze it, even if you made it quite wet and the soup spilt and you used it to wipe it up, whatever, that would be permissible. The thing to watch out for when using a cloth napkin is coloring. You don't want to give it some color on Shabbos, because we held as a problem of tzevea. Tzevea, interestingly enough, it's a machlokes achronim as to what is considered tzevea and what's considered makalka. When is it considered that you improving, and when is it considered that you would be destructive. So some say if you had a red garment and you put it onto a bleeding wound and it's going to become even redder, that is considered severe because you're improving the quality of the color. But if you have a white garment and you put it on a wound, you're ruining it. You're making a stain. Others say no, red on red is not, you're not doing anything. But red on white, that makes color. Even though right now that's not the color you want in your napkin, but that makes color. And the mice will be choshish both ways. And therefore, if you've just had you just had some strawberries, or you just ate beets, or you had ketchup, or you drank a cup of chocolate milk with cocoa, all sorts of these type of foods that are high in food coloring, the sodas the kids drink and leave them with a nice colorful moustache. And now you take a napkin into a bib and you wipe them off, you have to be careful that you're not leaving a color on the material, because there will be a problem of severe. What one should try to do, even though, as I said, there's a tzad that you make for, because it's a makalko, because that's not what you want on it. You don't want this beautiful white napkin to have red stains all over. So there's some ways to be careful not to I guess the husband must be careful not to annoy his wife. He takes the nicest napkin and makes it all colorful. But one should try at least use a little bit of water in advance to wipe off the color and only then use the dab or the remainder. If you're using paper napkins, then there's nothing to worry about because everything's thrown out. It's paper napkin, you say. Everything's a macaco and a paper napkin, and they're not worried about it. It's something that is colorful. Obviously, no squeezing. To use a wet wipe, otherwise known as a napkin that is pre-impregnated with liquid and moisture to wipe down a face, hands, or anything else is problematic on Shabbos, especially with a significant amount of moisture in wet wipe, because then it comes to, then we're worried that applying a little bit of pressure can cause liquid to come on the schita. There are nowadays, I believe, they sell special Shabbos wipes. I think what they do is, I don't know, I haven't looked into it, I've just been told the action for this. They probably have a very small amount of liquid inside that if you squeeze, there's no liquid that comes out. I don't know, but that's, everybody should then ask their own rabbi as to whether he's wet wipes, this new type of wet wipes that they have today. But generally speaking, one should be careful not to use wet wipes, the standard wet wipes on Shabbos. There are those who are matir, and what I would therefore say is not that I would say that you should rely on them, but if you see someone who uses them, it's not time to make a fuss, because it is a lenient opinion. That is legabe washing, and now legabe drying. If one is wet, whether one had a cold shower, or had a dip in water, one came in from the rain, or to the mikveh, whatever the case may be, you got wet. Now you want to dry off. It is permissible to dry off on Shabbos. You take a towel, dry yourself, and you can dry, of course, all the smooth parts of the body. You can also dry the hairy parts of the body. But when it comes to hair, don't squeeze the hair. Damn it. Put the light pressure on the hair, and that will then absorb some of the excess superficial liquid. But to squeeze out the liquid that's in the hair is a problem on Shabbos. One may not do that. Someone who is in tar, in other words, it is quite bothersome for them and it's difficult for them to remain with so much water in their hair, and they need to take some of it out. So a slight amount of rubbing can be done. Again, no squeezing, but you can rub the towel against the hair. For mokamatsoya, anyone it's necessary if the person feels uncomfortable without it. The use of paper towels is permitted on Shabbos. Not that you have a squeeze hair with them, but I'm saying as, just like you can use a cloth towel, you can use a paper towel. That's not a problem, even though it is common that a paper towel might tear or rip during the drying process. It's a double shaded scaven. It's a scalco. It's not considered a degradation. It's not sure going to happen. And therefore, we say that it's permitted to use such a thing, even though it happens often that it's going to tear. We have a halacha that a garment, a piece of material that got wet over Shabbos becomes muktzeh. You have your laundry hanging on the line, and either it was wet from before Shabbos and didn't dry out by the time that Shmoshes came, or it was nice and dry and the rain came down and made it all wet, or you're wearing something and it got soaked in the rain. Garments that are wet are muktzeh. You worry that the person's leaving them out, and therefore wet garments are muktzeh. There's obviously a difference as to when and how. And we don't know. Just say that clothing that was left on the laundry line before Shabbos, and you know you can be quite certain that by the time Shkia came, they were dry, you didn't have time to take them down. Those clothing are not muktzeh. And if you need them, you can take them off the line. You can't do fold and put away all your laundry on Shabbos. That's part of a honor. But you left some outfit on the line that you need Shabbos morning, and you know that when Shkia came, it was dry, as would be in Beit Shemesh summer, where the chance of precipitation is extremely low, and the speed at which things dry is extremely fast. And if you hang it up on a Friday afternoon, within an hour it's dry, so you know that by Shkia it for sure was dry, so you can for sure take it off the line on Shabbos if you need it, because that garment is not muktzeh. If you made a laundry just before Shabbos came in and you hang it on the line, And it's no longer summer because it's winter, then it was wet when Shabbos came in, and then it is mukta because even though it dries during Shabbos, since Benesh Marshes it was mukta, it mukta the whole Shabbos. But you have a very interesting case, what happens if you left dry laundry on the line? You washed it on the Friday morning, it was a lovely day like today, and by the time Shabbos came in, it was dry, and then Friday night it rained. So now, so long as it's wet, mukta, but if the sun out came the sun, just like Incy Wincy Spider, the sun came out and dried it all up again, and now your laundry is dry on the line. You may actually take it off, because since Ben Ashmoshes, the item was dry, so you don't have the rule that something that was mukta, Ben Ashmoshes is mukta for the whole Shabbos. He had only went through a temporary state of mukta while it was wet, because at that time you cannot remove it because he might come to squeeze it. But once it dries again, it reverts back to its original status. So if you did leave something on the line that was dry and not mukta ben ashmoshes, and then for whatever reason it got wet and then dried again, so then you can take it off the line after the second time it dried. So now, what's it going to do with what we're discussing is that wet clothing and wet garments are all considered mukta so long as they're wet, which would mean also that if you went for a walk in the rain, your clothing becomes mukta. However, we hold that so long as you're wearing them, they're not mukta. And you don't have to be choshish, you don't have to take them off right away. You can continue wearing them as you want, even if they're going squish. That's not a problem. You can wear your clothing as long as it's on you. Once you've taken it off, so you put it down, so then you say that they're mukta and you shouldn't move them anymore. Which also brings us to another halacha, that you have to be careful where you put it down, because then you may not hang up clothing in the normal way on Shabbos, because there's a Maris Ayin, it looks like you just did laundry, so you can't hang it on a washing stand or washing line or any other place where you generally laundry. It has to be done in a place where you don't laundry. With that in mind, what's the din of a towel? The towel, after you've had a bath, gets wet. Now, it depends on the circumstances and the quality of the towel. If you think about it, the fluffed up cotton towels that we have today is a relatively new invention. The towels that they had were a lot more similar to our linen and our tablecloths, which is a sheet of material, and it was not made of polyester, linen probably, maybe cotton. You can imagine if you took a bed sheet, and you used it to dry yourself after a shower, that bed sheet was pretty soaked. The way our towels are is that they've made them with a lot of material over a small area, and as a result, you don't notice how much water gets absorbed, and therefore it's not wringable. But when you have a flat piece of material with a bit of water inside, it gets absorbed, and it doesn't get as absorbed as it squeezes out. And therefore, a towel in the olden days was something that you might come to squeeze out. So we hold that, no, the Maisa discussion with Xera back and forth, can you have a bath, can you have a bath, can you dry yourself, can you dry yourself? The Maisa, the bottom line is that you can dry yourself, and even if the towel gets wet, that's not a problem. Not only that, you can even take the towel with you. You've been to the bathhouse for whatever reason, and you have a wet towel with you, you can take the wet towel back with you. That's not a problem. And then you have to just watch out where you hang the towel. You may not hang the towel on the washing line, but you may hang it on its hook or on its rod where you use to keep your towel, even though this is the way you usually dry your towel, because this is considered its place. It's not considered its drying place, it's its place. So if it's a place that's set aside for drying clothing, so then you see that it looks like you're hanging up laundry. So to put it on a washing stand, no good. But to hang it on the bar, on the rod that you have in your bathroom, where you normally keep it, even though you put it in a way that's going to dry, and that's how it's set up, that doesn't matter that you can do that. What one does have to worry about is something that I've seen in Europe, not so much here in Israel, is when you have central heating, so the radiator in the bathroom is not just a regular radiator, like the rest of the room, they make it as a towel rack. And like that, you hang your towel on the radiator, made to hang your towel on it, and your towel dries nice and quickly. It's winter, it's cold, it doesn't dry well, so you hang it over the radiator, and you have a double advantage. First of all, after you have a shower, your towel will actually dry within the next couple of hours if you wait for a couple of days. And also, by the time you have your next shower, your towel is nice and warm. It's nice to come out of a shower and wrap yourself in a warm towel. So that's very useful to have such a thing. One has to be careful on Shabbos that you do not place a wet towel on such a stand because you're worried about the water heating up. You have to let it spoil you, the problem of cooking. To put a dry towel on such a stand is permitted. And if you need a warm towel, you may warm the towel up if the towel is dry. If you have a line, a rope that's hanging between two trees, and you have a towel that's hanging on that rope, for example, you have your washing line, and now you want to use the towel, so that is considered permissible. We've discussed this before. When you have a tree, you may not use a tree on Shabbos. You are in a person might climb up on the tree, might take a branch, and therefore we say you may not use a tree as on Shabbos. You can't lean on a tree. You have to move under your weight. You cannot hang on a tree. You can't climb up a ladder that's leaning on a tree. But we make a difference between what we call studim and tzedek studim, the side or the side of the side. Meaning, if there's a double distance between you and the tree, then it would be mutter. So, to take a ladder and lean it against a tree, you can't climb up because you're using the tree. But if you have a, say, a hook that has been nailed into the tree, some sort of log that's been, some sort of a beam that's been nailed into the tree, and you lean your ladder on the beam or on the hook, but not directly on the tree, that's already second degree. That's tzedek studim. So if you have a swing, you have a rope that's hanging down the tree, and you have a swing, you can't sit on that swing on Shabbos because that's considered studim on the tree, using something that's directly connected to a swing. But if you have a basket that's hanging from the branch of a tree and you want to take something out of the basket, so you're not taking it on and off the branch, you're taking it out and in of the basket, so that's considered already a double stage. That's tzedek studim, the side to side. So when you have a rope that hangs from a tree, so then you can not put up the rope or put down the rope, take it down, but you can use something that's hanging on it. Have a towel that's hanging on the rope, you may dry your hand. Down, if the towel has been thrown onto one of the branches, then you cannot use that towel. It's directly on the branches. We know the famous story of the stifler. They say the stifler was hard of hearing. Apparently it came from when he was in the Russian army. He was in sentry duty and there a cold got to him and damaged his hearing. Now why didn't he wear a coat? Because they were short of coats in the Russian army and they used to pass the coat on from one sentry to the next when they changed and had a change of guards. And it was his turn to do sentry duty on a Friday night. When he came out to do his duty, the previous soldier had hung the coat on a tree. Now he didn't want to take the coat off the tree because you can't take some tree on Shabbos. Now in his case, we would be makel for the standard Jew because we would say that it is pikuach nefesh. It was dangerous to stand outside in the Russian winter without a coat. It's even if you say that it's not life-threatening, but difficult. Sakonas Aver, as you see in his case, it affected his hearing, and therefore it's only in the Rabbanon to take it off the tree, so you'd allow a Rabbanon in a Makom that's it. Sakonas Aver. So it would be pretty much, I think, according to most opinions, and I think according to all opinions, we would tell a person, go take the coat off the tree and put it on. The stifler was machmir on himself. Apparently the way he did it was he stood there for 5 minutes and waited. He said, oh, I lasted 5 minutes, let me try another 5 minutes. And he waited another 5 minutes, he said, oh, I lasted 5 minutes, let me try another 5 minutes. And apparently that's how he got through the night without taking the tree. When you have these towels that are put into institutions so that you can have a towel that's fresh for everybody, so what do? They have a towel on a roll, similar to paper towels on a roll, but the material towel on a roll, a very long roll, that's a neat towel, and it's on two rollers, and you dry your hand in it, and you pull down the next clean section, and the dirty section gets rolled on the new roller, and the clean comes off the old roller. There's no problem of using the Shabbos, it's purely mechanical, the whole system, and you just, each person pulls, dries his hands, and lighter. And when the towel is finished, and you want to put a new roll in, you can open up, even if you have to undo some latches, open up the mechanism and put in the fresh towel, because all this is not considered back of the package. This is where the machine is made to be used. If it would be some towel that would last a couple of months at a time, so then we'd say it's not used, it's not made to be opened and closed on a regular basis. But here, the towel lasts a day, 2 days max, then it gets changed, depending obviously on the volume that it's used. But it's something that's done regularly, even if you leave it open on Shabbos. Obviously, tearing towels is also on Shabbos. We do paper towels, machines that have rolls of towels, and you have to come to tear them. That would be also, you have to have pre-cut. When you have pre-cut, it's going to be properly pre-cut, but the slice is totally separated from before it. It's even slightly attached. Now you tear it off. Sometimes they do it that way, so that when you pull a tissue out of a tissue bag, the next one comes with. So they leave the very corner still attached, so that the next one comes out, but they only leave a small amount that tears off easily. That is problematic on Shabbos, considered makor partition, therefore one should not use such on Shabbos. To take your wet hands and put them next to a heat source is problematic on Shabbos from two points of view. Number one, it's problematic if the water in your hands is getting warm to the point that it'll be cooked. You have to worry about that. But even if you know that it's not going to get so warm, nevertheless, there is a floatus of Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to be passing the Chumra over here, that we say that washing on Shabbos with water that was warmed on Shabbos is also the halacha discusses. If a person is fully wet from head to toe and he jumps into a river, and he comes out and now he stands next to a fire and he warms up the water that's on his body. So now he has effectively a warm shower. So he put the cold water on him and warmed the water while it was on him. He didn't pour warm water. He warmed the water that was on his body. The Yeshayim, the mice in that particular case, who say that it's asur, that's considered as washing in warm water. And there's a discussion, is that does that apply to hands, say just your hands and not your whole body? We're going to go to Chumra, and therefore we don't wash our hands with cold water and put our hands in front of a heat source in order to warm it up. It then becomes as if we washed it in warm water that was heated today, even if it doesn't get to lettuce point. However, once your hands are dry, then there's no problem of putting next to a heat source. You wash your hands with freezing cold water. We haven't yet got to that stage. We're still early in the winter, but in a few weeks' time, even less than a few weeks, our water is going to start getting extremely cold, and you wash your hands, and it's freezing cold, and your fingers turn blue from the cold. I know, as a lady, I get the privilege of washing the hands of the Kohanim, and I know that at that time of year, they're always looking up, just slapped them in the face, but for this ice-cold water on their hands, and no one seems to have yet installed a system that would make the water a little bit more pleasant for the Kohanim. When my kids wash Negobas in the morning, I just try to put a couple of drops of hot water inside and make it more pleasant for them. There would also be an issue on Shabbos, can you do such a thing? You have to watch out in cliche and intuition, we spoke about last week. So what's the point? The point is that if you've washed your hands in this freezing cold water, now your hands are absolutely freezing, then once they dry, then you can put your hand up to something warm and get them to warm up. They're not wet again. Just two more items ended for today, and that is, if you have a towel that you need to take with you to the bathhouse, or you take home from the bathhouse, and the bathhouse is not in a place where there's an Eruv, then you may take the towel with you, Derech Levisha, if you wear the towel in a way that's a normal wearing. The common example would be there's a scarf. They usually don't have a cotton scarf, you might have a woolen scarf, but if you're wearing that surah in that fashion, in that manner, that you would wear a scarf, so it can be worn as a scarf, then it would be not considered as carrying, considered as an item of clothing, and then you can carry it out on Shabbos. And another point to bring down is one has to watch out when dirtying towels that you don't cause that the towel is going to be immediately laundered. Therefore, the example given is halacha said if you have your hands are full of mud, you should not wipe your hands on a regular towel, because when you see the amount of mud that has ended up off the hands and onto the towel, someone's going to take the towel and wash it off immediately, and therefore we avoid wiping our hands that are extremely dirty on a towel which would be made to be washed. Therefore, you should, in such a case, either wash it with water and soap, or liquid soap, water and soap before you dry them, or use some sort of material that you're not backing. Mori uses a notion of a cow's tail. You can take the hand and wipe it on a cow's tail. China is the mukta, it's not mukta, it's attached to the cow, not attached to the cow. That's a whole discussion over there. But that would seem to be what people did, was they had tails lying around where they could wipe off the excess dirt before they went and dried it on a regular cow. And therefore, we try to keep this in mind. Good for the kids to know, after they've come running in from the outside or they've gone and eaten ice cream, take the towel, nice white towel, and wipe their faces. That should be avoided. Rather, their faces should be washed first before you. Okay? And with that, we wish everybody a wonderful week. And you mentioned Hashem. Next week is probably, unless otherwise said, but probably at night.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you to you too.
Thank you. Have a great day.